I think this talk is Jesus makes a difference. Jesus makes a difference. Well, first of all, the first talk was about the uniqueness of Jesus. He's wonderful. He's lovely. He's magnificent. He's holy. There's no one like Jesus. Absolutely no one like Jesus. And the second talk was on the blood of Jesus and on healing and on salvation, really, because salvation comes from the blood. Salvation means healing. This talk is Jesus makes a difference. The scripture says this. I won't read it to you. I'll just paraphrase it. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. I just want to take the person of Mary Magdalene. The scripture tells us in another place she was perfectly possessed with seven demons, which means she was completely out of her mind. Now, I don't know if you know what it means to be out of your mind. I know sometimes what it means to be out of my mind. But when I'm out of my mind, at least I know it. You know what I'm saying? But when someone is really out of their mind, they think that's reality. Mary Magdalene was perfectly possessed. And now she's neath the cross of Jesus. Something has happened in her life, totally transformed by Jesus. He makes the difference. And then it says, on the first day of the week, before the sun rose, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away. Oh my, here we have not only someone who's been delivered, who is brave under the cross, but becomes the witness, the first witness of the resurrected Jesus. She'll become an apostle to the apostles. The Lord is risen! And they're going to think she's just a foolish woman. But she's not foolish at all. She saw the risen Lord. Oh my! Jesus made an absolute difference in the life of Mary Magdalene. And that's the way Jesus is. If Jesus doesn't make a difference in your life, you've not met him. You've met some counterfeit. You've not met Jesus. It doesn't mean you need to be delivered from drugs, though it may mean that. It doesn't mean that you need to be delivered from deep sin, but we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, we have our own things, what's deep in sin. You know, I tell you, pride is one of the deep ones. Phariseeism is another one. Religion is another one. When we think that we've got something that other people don't have. Jesus makes the difference. And I've always been taught, at least in the last several years, because it's only been then that I've let the Lord teach me, the difference makes the difference. I don't know if you've seen people, young people especially, everybody wants to follow the crowd. I get a pierced ear, you get a pierced ear, we all get a pierced ear, everybody's got a pierced ear. I get a tattoo, you get a tattoo, we get a tattoo, everybody gets a tattoo. There's no leaders anymore. We're all little sheep, following, 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 following. No leaders. Well, Jesus makes the difference. He raises up leaders. If people want to lead and put their head on the chopping block, Jesus makes the difference. And the difference that you are makes the difference. And you know, most of my life I've fought with the difference that I was because I wanted to be like everybody else. And you know what? I never could fit in that mold because I'm not like everybody else. I never will be like everybody else. I never have been like everybody else. So I better start making the difference of who I am and who God created me to be. Not better, not worse, but just different. Make the difference. We fight that. I fought that. I wish I had a father to teach me that it's all right to be different because the difference makes the difference. It's all right not to follow the beat of everybody else. When the drum is beating, you're going a different way. It's all right to believe in the religion of Salmonanity. Salmonanity? Do you know that religion? I belong to that religion. Yeah, the salmon is bucking the stream. It's going upstream. It's all right to belong to that religion. Salmonanity. Because the rest of the world is going downstream very quickly. I want to be like the old salmon, bucking my way up, going against the flow, doing what I'm called to do best. Oh, yes, I don't want to go with the flow, unless it's the flow of the Spirit of God. Then I'll go with that. But you see, everybody likes to be accepted. And I like to be accepted, too. I come from a background of not being accepted. But you know what? Whether they accept me or don't accept me, it really doesn't make a difference. The difference makes the difference. And if I continue to give myself to the Lord, He makes the difference in my life, and as a result, He makes the difference in so many other lives. Jesus makes a difference. And I know how hard it is. I know how difficult it is. I know, not because I've read it, but because I've struggled with it. But I've reached the point, it's bigger than both of us, as Jackie Gleason used to say to Alice Cramden. Alice, it's bigger than both of us. I'm not going to fight being different anymore. I'm going to let God use my difference for the kingdom of God, as He used the difference of Paul, as He used the difference of Mary Magdalene, as He used the difference of Mother Teresa, as He used the difference of Don Bosco, as He used the difference of Catherine Drexel. I don't compare myself with these people. I just say I'm different like them. And I want Him to make the difference in my life and through my life. I just came home from Florida, and I am associated with these crazy Cubans. They are absolutely nuts, these ladies. Oh, they are wild about Jesus. They are wild about Jesus. They go from place to place. You know, they go to AIDS hospitals. They go to prisons. When we're in the airport, they're asking the people who's checking the bags, do they love Jesus? Do they know Him? When we go to restaurants, there's four, like three of these evangelists, you know, and there's nothing like a woman evangelist, I'll tell you. Really, there's nothing like a woman evangelist. I'm telling you, that's real. You know, I was born and bred on Catherine Kuhlman. And no matter what anybody wants to say about Catherine Kuhlman, I learned under her, listening to her radio program every single day when I could. When she would say, "And are you waiting for me?" I'd be saying, "Honey, you have no idea how I'm waiting for you to hear a word of life today, because today I feel like quitting. Just as long as God is still on the throne and hears and answers prayer, everything will just be all right. And here's Jimmy McDonald." Catherine Kuhlman. Oh, yeah, she was a stage woman, but you know what? She had more than a stage presence. She was in love with Jesus, and her life made a difference in my life. I could listen to her at 11 o'clock, or 11 o'clock every morning when I was home, and be blessed by this woman of God. She wasn't afraid to talk about Jesus. These Cuban ladies aren't afraid to talk about Jesus, and they're not afraid to go into AIDS hospitals, and they're not afraid to go into prisons, and they're not afraid to do what other people won't do. The difference makes the difference. They weren't always like that. Maria says, "Oh my," she said, before Jesus came into my life, she said, "I always went to church. I used to go to church with miniskirts. Never thought anything was wrong with it. And you should have seen those miniskirts. I was the wife of a doctor." I had more shoes than Emil DeMarcos. I was flying all around the world. Whenever I wanted, whatever I wanted to do, I had it all. And then Jesus came into my life. No one had to tell me that that miniskirt had to be thrown away. So I wish I had saved at least one to let people know how risque I was dressing. And I didn't even know there was any problem with it. And then Jesus came into my life. And my husband couldn't deal with it. You've got another man in your life. Mamma mia. So he dumped her. But he's made the difference in her life. He's made a great difference. She's going to be at our place October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We're having 3 days of praise in our place at Holy Rosary just to praise the Lord. Friday night from 7:30 to 8:30 we do Mass, and then we'll praise the Lord until midnight. Oh, yes, until midnight we're going to praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Then we'll start again on Saturday, maybe 11, 11:30, 12, and we'll go till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then we have confessions. After confessions, we have Mass at 5:30. Then we'll start again at 8, and we'll praise the Lord until midnight. Oh, yeah. I tell you, he told me, I want you to do this kind of stuff. On Sunday, we'll start again. The difference makes the difference. We come to praise the Lord. Maria's coming to teach, but mostly to praise the Lord. That's what it's about. It's about worship. It's about praise. It's about getting into the anointing. It's about letting God do what he wants to do. It's not just about instruction. Instruction's wonderful. But if the presence of God doesn't come through worship, the people go home with their heads filled with a lot of stuff, and that's all they have is head knowledge. Head knowledge plus nothing equals nothing. Jesus plus head knowledge equals infinite possibilities. Head knowledge doesn't mean too much. How many of you know when you're in the middle of a problem and you're in the middle of a crisis, you don't take out your rosary beads and say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. That's a beautiful prayer. You say, help! Lord, I'm going to die. Please, come and do something. Lest I perish. Are you sleeping? Head knowledge doesn't mean anything. Now, I believe in that wonderful creed. I believe in it. But you want to know what? When I'm in trouble, I don't say the Apostles' Creed. Mercy! Oh, you got to do something on the earth, Jesus. If not, we're sinking, and we're sinking fast. He makes the difference. He makes the difference. I would not be standing here today if it wasn't for Jesus Christ the Lord, who changed my life in 1968. I will not tell you I have been dealt a whole lot of cherries. I have not eaten bowls of cherries. I have eaten many, many pits, I'll tell you, and only little pieces of meat around the pits. I'm telling you the truth, okay? I'm not lying to you. I do not have great experiences of God in my own life. I just don't have them. Do I want them? Of course I want them. Do they come? They don't seem to come. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. I'm not waiting for an experience. I've had an experience in 1968. It's kept me all these years. God knows how to give me experiences. He knows how. He knows how to break into eternity and time. You know what? If he's not willing to do it, I'm still going to follow, and I'm still going to preach, and I'm still going to tell. And even if I feel like singing, how dry I am, how dry I am. Anyway, I'll still proclaim the word of God in season and out of season, because that's what I'm called to. It's not about emotion. It's not about feeling. It's about Jesus. It's about my love. It's about the King of Glory. It's about the one whose glory, the glory of God, shines on his face. It's the one that changes people's lives. It's the one who literally changes people's lives. He doesn't come and give us a tune-up. He comes and gives us a motor job. For he says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you through the prophet Ezekiel, and I will take from you your stony hearts, and I will give you hearts of flesh instead. Stony hearts. That's what humanity is all about. Stony hearts. In the church, out of the church. Stony hearts. It takes two things to remove a stony heart. First thing, you need a donor to give you a heart of flesh. That's Jesus. Second thing, you've got to give up the old heart of stone. God's always willing to give us a heart of flesh, but we keep on picked. I want that no good heart in me because I want it. It does no good to you. Why do you want it? I want it. It makes me feel miserable. Yeah, I don't understand. You know, my uncle's dog was a lot brighter than that. That's true. My uncle's dog, when he was a puppy, my uncle was drinking at the time, and there was scotch in his little glass. So Spot came up, and his little snoot, he said, I want some scotch. And so my uncle gave him some scotch. The dog never returned to drink it again, but my uncle did. The dog had more sense than my uncle. You say, this is poison. I'm not a teetotaler. I'm just telling you, the dog had more sense. Why are we comfortable with hearts of stone when they make us miserable? Why, like we're like that cartoon character, that we carry a cloud around us wherever we go? Oh, what a beautiful day. Ah, if you only knew my problems. Well, why don't we talk about them? Oh, they're too big. God doesn't do anything for me. Does everything for everybody else. Not for me. Maybe you're addicted to your problems. Not me. I hate them. You hate them as you're kissing them? I hate the chains that I bear. And then I use them as sacramentals. We're all alike. That's why we need Jesus to make the difference. That we look at those chains and say, I'm sick of those chains. I don't want to carry them around anymore. By the grace of the living God and the blood of the Lamb, I don't have to be in those chains anymore. I'm a new person in Christ. Not going to wear those rotten chains anymore. I'm sick of this heart of stone, unfeeling, miserable, unforgiving. I'm sick of it. It stops here. No more. I'm breaking the curse today. In Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus makes the difference. But you see, we grow comfortable with old shoes, you see. I had to make a big decision today. Do I wear these shoes that have nothing to do with support? Or do I wear my black shoes and make an impression? And I said, I won't make an impression anyway with black shoes because they need to be polished. So I decided, I'm going to take my shoes off anyway, but why should it matter? No, I didn't go through all this thinking. It just was a half a second, what do I wear? Okay? But you know, there's nothing like an old shoe. It's just so comfortable. We don't want to throw it away. It feels so good. And just sometimes you just have to say, it's going. And we get that way with the garbage that's in our lives. We get comfortable. We start thinking, well, I'm too much for God. I've had it all my life, so I'll have it all the rest of my life. If you want it, have a happy day. If you want it, you can have it. But if he wants to take it from you, don't be a martyr. Because one day you might be a martyr and shed blood. See, we're all alike. Imagine if Jesus made the difference in your parish church. And in my parish church. You know, they come from all around to my parish. They don't come from across the street. Now, if I ever had a bad self-image, I'm going home at 12 o'clock at night from the church and I'm waving to people and they drive by me. I said, well, maybe they didn't see me. So the next one. Then the next one. I start thinking, maybe they did see me. But you know what? Makes no difference. It's okay. That's okay. Yeah, when they need me, they'll come get me. Who else are they going to go to? And God, when they come, help me not to put it in their faces. Help me to be like you, who never says, where have you been the last 8 years? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. I was classified in school as ordinary and timid. Yeah, ordinary and timid. He's ordinary and he's timid. Well, you know, I really am timid. When I'm not in my element, I see myself shirking back. That's really true. But you know what? I might be timid, but not when I don't need to be timid. I'll be in your face if I have to be in your face. If it means standing up for God's people, I'll be right in your face, and I don't care if you're the Pope. Doesn't mean I'll be disrespectful. It just means I will speak up for God's people, and if it means that my position will be sliced in nines, I'll get my position sliced in nines. Because that's what I've been raised up for. Jesus makes a difference in my life. If I didn't have him, I would have quit a long time ago. I tell you, most people have more faith than I do. They do all these things at church, and they don't have this living, vibrant relationship with Jesus. I said, how do you do it? I find it hard enough to do it with a relationship with them. Like, how do people do it? Did they just go through the motions? Like, I'm just finding out after 25 years as a priest, the Lord's telling me I have no idea what happens on the altar. And I know he's right. So I have to keep on saying, Lord, show me. Lord, show me what's happening. I can tell you in words what happens. I can tell you the unbloody sacrifice of the cross is made present. Jesus is there as he was on Calvary. I can tell you all those things. But unless God pulled the curtains of revelation, I'm not going to really know them. And then if I don't really know them, I can't communicate them to anybody else. Now, I know them greater than I've ever known them. But you know what? The depth of what happens on the altar is as deep as God himself. The depths of the proclamation of the word of God is as deep as God himself. So after all these years, I'm saying, okay, Lord, I don't have any idea. Show me. Reveal it to me. I need you to do it. I'm kind of slow. I'm doing the best I can. Take the scales off my eyes. Make the difference in my life. When Jesus makes the difference, you're not afraid of anybody. You're not afraid of anybody, no matter who it is. You know why? Because they're just like you and you're just like them. You can stand up to the devil himself and say, by the power of the blood, you're not going to steal another thing from me. You've been defeated, and I'm not playing ball with you, Slewfoot. Oh, yeah, he gets us all at vulnerable moments, doesn't he? Vulnerable moments. But Jesus makes the difference. He's made the difference in history. I want to tell you, no matter what they do with the calendar, it'll always be B.C. and A.D. Now we've changed it to A.C.E. and B.C.E. Before the Common Era and after the Common Era. And my question is, what started the Common Era? Or who started it? His name is Jesus. And all time and all eternity rotates around Jesus. He's unique. No matter what we want to do, we want to take him out of our classrooms, we want to pull him out of off the crucifix in our Catholic colleges. I'm telling you, he's coming back, and he's coming back with fire in his eyes. And he's coming back on a white horse. And he's coming back with a sword in his hand. And he's coming to separate the wheat from the chaff. God bless you.